الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يشاقق الرسول بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوليه ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before discussing this ayat, we just heard about all the virtues of Qurbani and the days of Qurbani are here. One very important thing is, I don't think the moon has been sighted. No. So we still got tomorrow. Those who will be doing Qurbani, and even not, then remove all the hair of the unwanted hair of the body, paring our nails, cutting our nails, etc. In this way also we see one very, very intrinsic quality of the Hajj, which Allah wanted must be universal, international, that this is a mini ihram for us. Ihram, the people who are going to make Hajj have put on ihram. But this is a mini ihram, that now during these 10 days we don't touch our hair. Just like the muhrim also is not allowed to remove any hair from his body, like that we also, Allah made it. Then the qurbani which is made, actually it is in Mina, but Allah made that also universal. Throughout the world qurbani is made. And qurbani was made by a great Nabi like Ibrahim alayhi salam, father of the Anbiya, and the qurbani of his son Ismail, though actually Allah replaced it, but that was the actual qurbani that was meant. But Allah kept that also not only for the pious, not only for the Muslims, but for non-Muslims also. That this is all given away. A qurbani meat can be given to non-Muslims also. And all the fat, etc., which is left over, given to the animals also. So Allah made this qurbani that everyone becomes part and parcel of it. If we are making qurbani ourselves, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, go to places where qurbani is being made, when help there, or holding the animal, skinning the animal, so that we all can be part. So this removing of the hair, let us not slip up on that also. And there is great reward, part of deen also. And we fit into the whole puzzle of deen, and our whole, everything comes out perfectly. So Allah give us tawfiq. Then the great ibadat of the 9 days, of the 8 days of Zulhijjah, is the third kalima. And if we can read it 300 times, very good. 300 normally ulama have referred to as abundance. And if we make Salatul Tasbih, even better. And then on the 9th, that will be the 9th, then the 4th kalima, La ilaha illallah, wahadahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, biyadil khair, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Normally, yuhi wa yumit is not in the riwayat. So if we read that, on the 9th, we should try and keep roza on the 9th also. Every day we should keep. Otherwise, Monday, Thursday, we should try and keep. And on the 9th, that roza particularly, we should try and keep also, and read this tasbih of the 4th kalima. So great, great days are here, great earnings for the akhirah. And like in this dunya, we know a small sale somewhere, just a 5% discount, 10%, we go mad for it. Yeah, how much Allah is giving. And we only got this little short life of ours. This year's qurbani is here at our doorstep. Hopefully Allah will grant it to us. But we don't know whether. Next year, who can say? So try and do the best. Open fatibu biha nafsa. Open our hearts and make the qurbani. Spend a little extra money. And if you're not going to spend that money, it's not going to stay in your pocket. It will go in ice creams. It will go in some lollipops. It will go in something else. So spending where you are, can put it away for the akhirah. As much as we can spend for the akhirah, spend it there. Otherwise somebody will come and steal it. And then you'll cry and moan. So rather before that, send it away to the Akhirat, the bank of Akhirat, where no sewer rats also can get to it, and nobody can get to that, to what we have sent to the Akhirat. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. This ayat that I have recited is the last ayat of the third quarter of the fifth supara. The fifth supara, the half starts with وَثُمَا لَكُمْ فِي الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِيَتَيْنَ. They are very great lessons. We'll just go through them, and very pertinent and very important for us here. Here, the beginning of the half of the fifth supara, where Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَا لَكُمْ فِي الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِيَتَيْنَ. What has happened to you that with regard to the munafiqs, you have got two opinions. This address is to the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Some of the Sahaba had the opinion, no, they are genuine Muslims. The other had the opinion, no, they are kafirs. So two opposing views. Allah says, what has happened to you? How come you are having two views? There is only one view, the right view or the wrong view. It is the who is right and who is wrong. How come you have got two views? To understand it, and if we have to see the occasion when this ayat was revealed. And the principle of tafsir is that whatever was revealed for whichever occasion is not specified for that occasion. To understand it, everything about it, you have to know that occasion on which it was revealed. But then it applies till the day of Qiyamah. So, and this is the one of the great miracles of the Quran Sharif, that it was revealed over a period of 23 years, but its application is till Qiyamah, and for all circumstances and all events. Like, for example, a person comes in a position where he desperately needs the help of Allah Ta'ala. So that Allah brought the battle of Badr, when Muslims were very desperate for the help of Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala said, Allah's help came. And how did it come? That وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. Two things if you do, sabr and taqwa. So, and for, that was on that occasion. And when you do that sabr and taqwa, Allah's help came. And all of us know, briefly, scantly, what the Battle of Badr was. Muslims were at all odds, impossible for them to win. But Allah gave them a great, great, great victory because sabr and taqwa. However, sabr and taqwa have to be understood what it means. And another third thing is إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ. When you made istighatha to your Rabb, you didn't read du'as, you didn't make du'as, you pleaded and cried, and you humbled yourself totally to Allah, then Allah's help came. So, till Qiyamah, individually, in a community, family-based issue, in the universal thing, three, when we are in difficult conditions, three things we do, Allah's help will come. Sabr, taqwa, and pleading and crying to Allah Ta'ala. Then in the battle of Uhud, Allah taught a lesson till the day of Qiyamah, that Allah's help that came, it goes away again. When we just move a little bit away from the sunnah, even though misunderstanding, not intentionally. In the battle of Uhud, Muslims are given a great victory. But just because about 50 sahaba, and not all of them, majority of them had misunderstanding in the instruction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a great battle that was won, it turned into a disaster. So how important it is to follow sunnah and understand sunnah properly. But today, willingly, we just throw out sunnah from our lives. And then, in the battle of Hunain, Allah Ta'ala taught us that when is Allah's help withheld, Allah's help doesn't come. Though the Muslims in the Battle of Hunain, they said also with their own tongue, before we were always small in number, today we are big in number. There is no chance that we're going to lose the battle, we're going to win. So thus Allah Ta'ala said, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. When your numbers made you feel that we are somebody big now. In other words, any sign of the displeasure of Allah in the form of pride, etc., name, fame, Allah's help goes away. Though you can be in every way in the winning situation, it's totally a win-win situation, but your quality, something has gone wrong, pride is coming to you, name and fame has come into you, making zulam has come into you, then Allah's help doesn't come. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So anyway, here yeah, the lesson that we have to learn, that there were some people of the Quraysh, they had come to Makkah Sharif, they accepted Islam. And after a few days, they told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that the weather conditions of Medina Sharif are not suitable for us. So if you give us permission, we'll go and live in a village where the weather conditions are more suitable. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as it was his habit always, he would just give happily permission. So they went, and then they started moving from village to village until they got back to Makkah Sharif. From there, they wrote a letter to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and said that, have itminan, don't be, nothing to be disturbed, we are Muslims, we are on your creed, we are on your religion, but due to the weather conditions, we came away. On this then, the Sahaba got two views. One says that they are genuine, the weather conditions didn't allow them, the environment of Medina, so that's why they went away. The other said that at that time, to make hijrat was faraz. And we also made hijrat, for the weather conditions were not good for us also, but we tolerated. So why didn't they tolerate? So the Sahaba got two views. That one was, no, they are genuine Muslims, others said they are not. Allah Ta'ala corrected the whole matter for once and for all, and revealed the ayat in a very strong ayat. What happened to you? Why you got two views? There can't be two views. It's one view. They should not have gone away. So that is a great lesson. When you see clear signs of kufr, words of kufr, anything like that, then they don't have any doubt about the wrong of a person. And what has to be, what ruling has to be given, must be given. The ruling will be given by the ulama. But we, how we must relate with such people, how we must associate with them, how much we must have contact with them, that is made clear for us. They don't have any doubts, clear matter. Those people who are living a life which is totally against the commands of Allah and His Rasul, and especially if they are in leadership position and they are misguiding the people, then don't have two views in there. Further on in this quarter supara, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala explains another incident of one munafiq by the name of Tu'ma ibn Ubayriq. He was, as a Muslim munafiq, outwardly was like a Muslim. He came to know of a certain Ansari Sahaba, a genuine true Sahaba, that he had some flour, bread flour, cake flour, bread flour most probably, which was at that time still a luxury in Medina Sharif. And whoever had it, they looked after it, they used it for special occasions, visitors, etc. And added to that, he had hidden his armor, weapons in that bag of that flour. So this person, Tu'ma ibn Ubayriq, he came to know of this. So he went at night and he made a robbery, he stole it, the whole bag of flour he stole. But to his utter, for his disaster, there was a hole in that bag of flour, and that the flour was falling out. So the trail was clear that where it's gone to. In the morning, the news spread, there was a robbery last night, and they started now looking, and they saw that from the house where the flour, where the armor and that was stolen, the flour, they saw the trail of the flour. But when he reached home, he realized that there was a hole. Before that, he did not know. Now, to just dangle a fish, so they go in the wrong direction, he took it to his neighbor's house, a Jew, who was known as a Jew, and he asked, if you keep this as a amanat for me. So he said, no problem. He was not aware of all the details. So when the people came, and they came to his house first, and they searched the house, they didn't find the weapons. So there was no proof. So he was like innocent until proven guilty. Then they followed the flower to the Jew's house. They searched there. They found the armor. So he was guilty. But the reality of the matter was the opposite. He was guilty, who looked like a Muslim, a munafiq. And the Jew, who was an open Jew, non-Muslim, he was innocent. However, for some reason, the news started spreading in Medina Sharif that this Tama ibn Ubayrik, that he was the guilty person, he stole. So he got his family people ready to go to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and place the case in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. People are accusing us, and they searched our house, they didn't find the weapons, and falsely they are accusing us. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also made the announcement and said that without proof, don't accuse anyone. Only when you have proof, then you can accuse somebody. Without that, you can't do that. On that, these ayat were revealed, إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ. We have revealed the Quran to you with absolute truthfulness, so that you can make your decisions not as what you see what the situation is, but بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ, what Allah informs you to do. So that is important, and that is what is called, one is a person sees with the eyes of his head, and one he sees with the eyes of his heart. Eyes of his head is what you see yourself, and the eyes of your heart is what Allah shows you. So you must see that what Allah shows you. One is you look at things just with an outward look, and the other is with a deep look. More deeper, you don't look at the surface only, you look below the surface. You look further ahead. You have a very deep look in it. So that is what Allah wants. So Allah says, in these matters, consider everything and turn to Allah Ta'ala. So here also, whenever anything happens in the community, any controversy, any accusations, don't just jump to conclusions. And just what the people are saying, with that we go. Rather keep quiet and leave it for the elders to decide. Or at least wait till see the dust settles down. Then you can know who is right and who is wrong. But you normally with us, whenever anything happens in community in the world, then we make our opinion immediately. We want to be the first to make judgment on a matter. And we got no evidence to make judgments, but we want to make judgments. So we can see when Allah Ta'ala told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and further Allah says, Istaghfirillah, ask forgiveness from Allah. From there, ulama have written, ask forgiveness from those people who did wrong on their behalf, ask forgiveness for them. So anyway, this is also, we should see, and yeah, that's a great lesson that has to be learned here. With regard to the theft instance, is that don't look at who is you, who is yours and who is not yours. The Jews are not ours, but he was not guilty. So classify him as not guilty. That Tama ibn Ubayrik, he looked like ours, he was a munafiq, but he was guilty. So he classify him as guilty. Don't make judgment because in favor of religion. If it's a non-Muslim who's guilty, he's guilty. If it's a non-Muslim is not guilty, he's not guilty. Muslim is guilty, Muslim is guilty. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told when Fatima bint Makhzuma, she had stolen and order was given her hands to be cut, and then people interceded on her behalf. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, even if Fatima bint Muhammad has to steal, I will cut her hands also. So there is a great lesson for us. Normally we give preference that it's an alim. How can you speak against an alim? He's a pious man. Pious people, you can't speak against them. But when things are clear and who has done wrong, it's wrong. Or it's my father, it's my mother, it's my sister, or any family member. Or the Quran Sharif explicitly says, even if it's a poor person, a poor person has done wrong, and you say, try to cover up for him, he's a poor person. What will happen to him? His poor, small, little children, his wife, they are poor, they got nothing. No, whoever is guilty, whoever it is. And there, that must be the criteria. For the haq and the batil also, the truth and falsehood also. Don't look at family ties. Don't look at our connection. For years and years we got connection with these people. And our relation goes very far back. And we have got great, great contact, etc. Don't look at any of that. See the truth. That is important. Allah give us tawfiq. Then at the end now of the second ruku, and which is what was revealed at one time, two whole rukus at one time were revealed. And the end of the quarter, just before the third quarter, the last quarter starts, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ, those who differ and go against and opposite to the Rasul, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْحَقِّ, when the clear path has become clear to him, and he follows a path which is not the path of the believers. He follows another path which is not the path of the believers. Which path he is going on, we leave him to go on that path. We give him rein. We give him a line, a free line, you carry on. وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ, and finally we throw him into Jahannam, وَسَاعَتْ مَصِيرًا, and a very evil and very horrible place it is to land oneself in. Now this year, we just see the ayat, and the Quran, Allahu Akbar, the miracle of the Quran Sharif, how it fits in hand in glove for all occasions till Qiyamah, that those who go against the ways of Rasul. Now there are so many hadith which we also have mentioned a few here and there at times, that the way of Islam is the way of Nabi alayhi salam. Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ قَالُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. That is the way of Allah and His Rasul. So anyone who goes against that way is also at the same time known to the masses. Ordinary Muslims who are what we will call ignorant, jahil, they don't know much about deen, but they also know what is Islam, the basic concepts and principles of Islam. The learned also know. The non-Muslims also know. One time I was gone for some blood test, and then a lady who was there, I was busy reading Quran Sharif, a non-Muslim lady, she asked me, have you got wudu? Did you wash yourself before reading? Now she also know you can't touch the Quran without the wudu. So they also know about our many things. They also know many instances where they know also. So that path of Nabi is the path of Islam, which is a known path. Like for example, segregation of the genders in Islam is known. Islam orders that. Even non-Muslims know that, and many people experience that wherever they go. Many times in the immigration, a lady will come and say that you come to my counter, that I will check your face, etc., for a lady. So all these things are known. As far as interest is concerned, the world knows Islam is a non-interest-based financial system. Many, many things like this. So the Sabil Rasul, the path of Nabi is known. But now those who oppose it, and that path has been coming down, and all know it. From generation to generation, it has come, the way of Islam. So Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّبِي غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. No. بَعْدَ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. After he knows what is the right, he also knows. And in that we see that those ulama, they are those ulama today who not only say TV is permissible, they appear on TV. And they were the same ulama, the same person When he was teaching in a maktab, he made the children take out the TV from their homes, that it is haram to keep a TV. TV is not permissible at all. So how they have changed. How many things which they knew themselves that this is wrong, this is not permissible, this is what they taught, what they advocated, what they taught, and then they changed. Hazrat Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a very great sahabi, he says, somebody asked him, what is fitna? When is a person caught up in a fitna? So he said, if a person is caught up in a fitna, that what he stood yesterday, or what he understood, what he accepted yesterday as haram, today he says it's halal. So things which we thought we were ourselves, we were advocating, we were teaching that these things were haram, and now we say it is halal. For example, with the Jusa website, if you go on their website from about 94 till about 2000, they were following the old Jamiat system properly. From 2000 to 2010, roughly, they started deleting all the old fatwas, which were in favor of the old Islam. And they deleted it there, and it's on record. What the machine which is called the Wayback Machine. All the bad things of any website can be retrieved again. And then you see what was there and what is here now. You see completely that was a different Islam. This is a different Islam. And now they have gone in a different direction. So all these things which are very clear. So those who follow this wrong, the new path, a new path, that is being referred to. بَعْدَمَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ خَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And they follow a path which is not the path of the Muslimin. Whether it is interest-based business, whether it is Islamic finance, Islamic banking, or whether it is intermingling of sexes, whether it is photography, whether it is music, whether it is interfaith-related matters, whether it is homosexuality and lesbianism hidden behind LGBTQ. All those things which are totally haram, today they are being promoted and they are being advanced as permissible in Islam. And Islam permits it, Islam allows it, Islam encourages it, waliyazu billah. So all this here, this ayat is so clear, glove in hand, it fits and explains everything. Noel Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, says, this wayattabi ghayra sabilil mu'mineen. In here is a clear proof of the ijma'i ummat, that what Islam is and what the ummat is unanimous upon, that is a clear proof that is what we must follow. In that, ulama explained, there are four things for us to follow our deen. One is Quran Sharif, that is the first and most important. If you don't get a clear-cut instruction in the Quran Sharif, then you go to Hadith Sharif. When you get that, well and good. If not, then you go to Ijma. Ijma is the consensus of the ulama. On what matter the ulama agree, that is a proof as strong as Quran Sharif. In the absence of a clear-cut verdict from the Quran Sharif, Hadith Sharif, and there is Ijma. Ijma is a clear-cut proof as strong as the Quran Sharif. And the fourth is Qiyas, analogy, to compare. Today there isn't a new situation has arisen, which is not in the Quran Sharif, it wasn't before, it's not in the Hadith, it's not in Ijma also. Then you compare it to a situation there. Now that is not the work of any Tom, Dick and Harry, great ulama. That where the differences come, you can't compare Qiyas ma'al Fariq. You are comparing it, but you are making a mistake here. This comparison of yours is not befitting, it's not correct, because you are not relating it correctly. So that's not the work of everyone, the great ulama. So anyway, these are the four things. So Imam Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, says that the ijma of the ummah is dalil also. So what the ummah is unanimous upon, like the ummah 100% were unanimous that photography is haram. that intermingling of sexes is haram. Homosexuality is haram. It's not a matter of choice. It is not a matter of willingly allowing it. It is haram, it is haram. All these matters. So, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. There is a great, great lesson here also. We will leave them to do what they want to do. And this is a system of Quran Sharif, which in many ayat Allah Ta'ala has explained that when a person is adamant to do wrong and he finds proof within himself, we will make him convince his proof is right. His proof will be wrong completely, but he will. For example, when the Munafiqeen wanted to go out for jihad in the path of Allah, fi sabilillah, but Allah didn't, they are Munafiqs. Allah made excuses for them. And they may use that excuse, they say, we can't go, family is sick, this is a problem, that is a problem, there is no mahram at home, we can't go, etc. Allah makes it then for a person. And then you see the wrong which you are in, and it's wrong, but you are made to see it as right. So that is a dangerous situation also. And the only way is tawbah, istighfar, that we turn to Allah for His help, and He shows us what is right, what is wrong. Otherwise, even you take advice from your friends, etc., they tell you, no, you are right. They are wrong. So this is a very, when the clear-cut laws of Islam, which even non-Muslims know what they are, even Shaitan knows what are the laws of Islam. But yet, people will follow the wrong laws and prove them right. وَيَتَّبِي غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّيهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ. And then finally what will happen when we get to Akhirat and we enter the Adab in the Qabr on the day of Qiyamah, and وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. And it is a very, very evil, wrong, horrible road that they were following and they had reached. And when a person gets to the Adab in the Qabr on the day of Qiyamah, nobody will help you. Husband will recognize wife. Ask her for help, ask her for one sawab, ask her for a drop of water, she will refuse. Yea, in the worldly life, she made all khidmat for her husband, or husband for his wife, parents for their children, children for their parents. They will see one another, they will recognize one another. But those who are there, the criteria will be, what was supposed to be in the world, it will become very clear there. It will be the criteria of Iman and Kufr, not of family ties, not of old relationships, not of favors that were done for one another, not of contacts we got for one another. There it will be on Iman and Amal, on justice and the truth. So great, great lessons in the Quran Sharif. May Allah give us all the tawfiq to understand and the great kitab, that we don't just take it for barakat. That also we don't do today. Quran in our homes, how many of us, we don't touch the Quran Sharif. We don't read the Quran Sharif. Those of us who do read, just like haphazardly, we just read a little bit and that's finished. But the Quran Sharif is our guiding factor. It is the kitab that must be the foremost in our life. We can do, if we don't touch our phone, doesn't matter. If we don't read any novel, doesn't matter. If we don't follow the news, doesn't matter. But Quran Sharif we must follow. But our attitude is the different. Eh? The news is more important. What this novel got to say, and what that writer got to write, and what this person got to say, and Quran, we don't even touch the Quran Sharif. How many of us today think, from as we are sitting here, how many of us read our Quran today? One page, two pages. And many of us, we haven't touched the Quran Sharif. So may Allah give us tawfiq to relate to the Quran, love by the Quran, and make our aqaid, make our beliefs, make our akhlaq, make our character, everything according to Quran Sharif. Fortunate are those people, and great will they be. And Quran Sharif, even a person, the miracles of the Quran are unlimited. Without understanding, a person will keep on reading, the meaning Allah will put into his heart. Quran Sharif, without understanding also, a person will keep on reading, his thinking will become very sharp. and very, very accurate, correct, accurate. He didn't go to school, he didn't go to madrasa, but he's reading Quran Sharif always. He will have that brain which great professors don't have. And he will be able to combat them, and with such arguments that they'll have no answers for him. The Quran produces such a brain. May Allah give us tawfiq to connect ourselves with Quran Sharif. The greatest interceder on the day of Qiyamah will be the Quran Sharif. More than a Nabi also. More than Namaz also. More than Zakat and Hajj and Roza also. The Quran Sharif. And the greatest charge laid against us that will be upheld will be that of the Quran Sharif. And if we are guilty and Quran Sharif lays a charge against us, we are in a very, very dangerous position. May Allah let us understand the value of the Quran Sharif, take the lessons and make our lives accordingly. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك.